Sup. All week I was called, I got to lead, go up to the mountain with a bunch of my friends and lead Devos, and I got called Pastor Ricky all week. And I guess they're kind of preparing me for this. So, all right, here it goes. What if I told you Jesus' greatest gift to us was brokenness? Not only his brokenness for us, but our brokenness for him. I'm going to share with you today, in a nutshell, what we learned about Jesus' brokenness and about our brokenness. There are three aspects to this brokenness. First and foremost was Jesus' brokenness for us. If you will, turn with me to Isaiah 52, verses 14, and then I'm going to jump down to chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. Beginning in verse 14. But many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one could scarcely know he was a man. Jumping down to verse 4. Yet it was our weakness he carried, it was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Now, many of us have heard the crucifixion story many times, and what many people try to do is they put it in a box almost. They say, well, yeah, he came and died for us. He suffered a lot of physical pain because he created us and because he loves us so much. But what people don't realize, what an incredible feat it was to love us. We are nothing special at all. There is nothing good in us, but he loves us anyway. We are an unlovable people. Imagine if you had a friend or a child that you loved with all your heart, and you continually reached out to them, and you wanted to grow closer to them and develop a relationship. But at every turn, this person pushed you away. He continually sinned against you and rebelled against you. He rejected you in front of his friends, in front of people, in front of crowds, and wanted nothing to do with you. This is exactly what we do to Jesus. He is standing there with his arms stretched out, reaching out to us, wanting to develop a relationship with us, to grow closer to us. But at every turn, we reject him, we sin against him, and we rebel against him. We reject him in front of friends, in front of family, in front of people. This is the most amazing love anyone can ever experience. The second aspect of brokenness I'd like to share with you is we are broken like Jesus. We are called by God to endure suffering as Christ did. If you will, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Beginning in verse 12. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. At one point in time, every Christian or every person will ask the question, why do bad things happen to me? Or why is this bad thing happen to me or someone that I love or I'm close to? The best answer to this is it is a result of our sinful condition, of our sin in the world and of the sin in the world. So what do we do? Well, how do we handle these trials and bad things that come our way? The best response instead is joy. These trials make us partners with Christ in suffering, as it said in verse 13, so that we have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to the world. The third aspect of brokenness I'd like to share with you is that we are broken for him, for Jesus. Jesus breaks us as a rider would break a horse. He wants us to fully submit to him. He wants us to surrender every aspect of our lives to him, especially as Christians. When we surrender our lives, we want to hold on to a sin or a part of our life that we've grown almost attached to, whether it be the love of money, love of power, lust, or any other thing as like that. If you would, turn with me to Romans 12. I'm going to be reading verses 1 and 2. Beginning in verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Right now, Jesus is standing here today with his arms stretched out, ready to accept us as we are, to forgive us all our sins, and to love us. All he wants is simply to have an intimate relationship with you and to grow closer to you. Just as it was in the Garden of Eden before sin entered the world, he wants to walk with us, he wants to talk with us, and he wants to guide us. So, the question remains, will you allow God, or will you surrender every aspect of your life to God today? Will you allow him to chisel you into the person he wants you to become? He is standing there with his arms open, ready to embrace us and accept us. Will you allow Jesus to break and to mold you?
It's one thing to see a youth present the gospel of Jesus Christ that clearly. It's another that it's your own son. I speak to the parents just for a little bit. That's the greatest legacy you can ever leave, is a child who wholeheartedly serves, worships, and lives for God. Because the 80 years or so, or however long our days are numbered, that you will live on this earth are nothing compared to eternity. And so I repeat what my son asked you before. What legacy will you leave? Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, I stand at the door and knock. Those who open up to me, I will come in and have a relationship with them. Will you give your heart, all of your heart, to the one who has paid the full penalty of your sin, who was marred beyond human semblance, human recognition, who allowed himself to be whipped, beaten, and nailed to a tree for you? And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead, reminding us of a great promise that we have, that Jesus will come again to bring us to where he is. There is no greater gift in this universe. There is no better promise or greater promise that this world has to offer. It transcends all human understanding, and it will truly guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Pray with me. Lord, we thank you for how much you love us, and we thank you for our youth and for the wonderful time that they had at Fly. Lord, the seeds that were sown in each one of our youth's heart, I pray that you would continue to water and nurture through your word, and you would bring to completion that which you started. I pray that also for every single person under the sound of my voice. I pray that those people who have received a seed planted in their heart today, Lord, that you would foster and nurture that seed, and that you would bring to completion, that you would work the miracle of salvation for those who have not called on your name. And Lord, for those who have called on your name, may you strengthen each one. And may your grace, mercy, and love guide us, lead us, and protect us until the faithful day we see you face to face and we stand before you in an eternal kingdom with no more sorrow, no more pain, and no more sin. Lord, help us to have an eternal perspective. Help us to be those living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to you. I thank you for this time, and I pray these things in Christ's name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.